Oh, hell yeah. That was awesome. Skull and Crossbones, Hallowed Ground. Man, I almost feel like we need a little total devastation in our lives right now. Here on Blight Night Meditations, WSCA 1061. Send me an email. Let me know what's on your mind. BNMRadio@live.com, at BNM Metal Radio on Twitter. The number here at the station, send me a text. If you've got questions for Stu, I'll get to it. 603-430-9722, 430-WSCA. And like I was telling you, this guy, Stu Marshall, is awesome. I started listening to his music a few years ago. We got an Empires of Eden record several years ago, hit the station out of nowhere, threw it on. I'm like, this is killer. This is awesome. This guy is awesome. Like I was saying, an awesome Australian axe slinger, the death dealer from Down Under, and I don't have anything else to call him. Stu, do I still have you down there in Australia?
G'day, Mark here, mate.
Yeah, there you are. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for calling in, and apologies for the bad connection, but hey, you're on the other side of the planet, and there's a whole lot of metal in between us, so hopefully we won't lose your signal this time around. But thanks again for calling in. Certainly appreciate your time. We're going to talk about the new band Night Legion. We'll touch on Empires of Eden, Death Dealer, Blasted Ecstatic, the 17 other bands you've been in. Actually, you know what? Let's just go ahead and start there, Stu. You know, I joked that you're the Death Dealer from Down Under, the awesome Australian axe slinger. But I could go on and on because you've been in so many bands. So what is the story behind Stu Marshall being in so many bands? I mean, do you like to keep us guessing? Do you need different outlets for your songwriting? Are you just a tyrant that grinds through musicians? What's the story there?
Well, brother, the story is there's really only three bands that I've been in because the Empires of Eden stuff was kind of a solo project that goes back over 10 years. So that was kind of a studio thing that, you know, we were hoping to take live, but over the last sort of 6 to 7 years, it's really only been three acts, and two of them have been primary, which is Death Dealer, which is essentially an American metal band, and I'm the foreign ring-in, you know what I mean? So, that's with Ross the Boss, famous from Manowar, and, you know, you got Sean Peck on vocals and from Cage, and Mike Davis on bass from Halford. So that's really the flagship band that I've been a part of. And then the second band that I've been a part of in the States, statewide, is Blasted Ecstatic, which has Jeff Martin from Racer X on vocals. So, you know, we've released one album with that band and done some West Coast touring. But, yeah, it may seem like I'm kind of spread everywhere, but you know, it's really only three acts, and I've just launched my new band, Night Legion, which is a local Australian band, because I haven't played a show in this country in 5 years.
Wow.
So that was kind of the reason for launching Night Legion. And then prior to all of this stuff, I was really active in a band called Dungeon, just on 10 years ago, that had a bit of a career in Japan and stuff like that. So, you know, I actually find it really easy to work between these bands because, as you were saying, you know, like, musically they're all kind of different. And, you know, you were talking about Empires of Eden, which is a very self-indulgent kind of solo project for me. You know, I've been able to work with like Udo Dirkschneider and Zach Stevens and dudes like that. So, you know, there's that kind of indulgent music side of it, and then there's more of the band thing. So, yeah, man, I actually find it really easy to work between all these acts because musically they're really quite different, but it's all metal.
And that's what we want from you. It seems like in my inbox every few months I get another email. Oh, look, there's another project that Stu Marshall seems to be involved in. So it seems to me that there's so many bands because you worked with Ronnie Monroe, too, on his second record. You mentioned Empires and Dungeon, of course. A little bit of a name, obviously, in Australia. We know who Dungeon is. And then Blasted Ecstatic. So it seems like there's just, you're an in-demand kind of guy. People, I guess it's better than people not wanting to work with you. So there's something to be said for that, for sure. So what is, and we're going to talk about Night Legion because that's the latest. And what is the latest? Because the last project that I got service was Blasted Ecstatic. Obviously, you're in that band with some scene veterans. What is the status of Blasted Ecstatic before we get into Night Legion? Where are we at with Blasted?
Well, mate, we released the debut album with a great label in Europe, and they just released vinyl of the first album. It's a self-titled album. So We put that out. We did a few shows on the West Coast in the States, and you know, the status is the band. It was kind of a studio project meets live. You know, we really wanted to go out live, but this day and age, you really need a label to fund these things. And you know, so the label that we signed with in Europe has been fantastic in putting out product and stuff like that. So for us, it's really about album number two. I expect towards the end of this year. I've been in touch with Jeff, and he's chomping at the bit to actually get back to writing. And right at this moment, my availability is a little bit tight. So I'd say we'll get together in June and start smashing out album number two.
All right, so how does that impact Night Legion, which is the newest project that you're putting out there? I think there's just the one song out there online for people to listen to. I was able to score a second song. How does your work with Blasted and any other work you may be a part of, how does that affect Night Legion, and where are you at with Night Legion right now? Which is, I don't want to say it's different than what other projects that you're doing, but I wouldn't necessarily say, oh, well, you know, whereas Empires and Death Dealer are a little more closely related, Night Legion a little bit different. So where are you at with Night Legion, and what is the what's the push behind you being involved with this project?
Sure. Well, to start with, Night Legion's pure heads down power metal. You know, it's like Primal Fear meets Halloween, that kind of stuff, but it's still aggressive. And you know, like I was saying to you offline, I haven't played a show in Australia in 5 years. A lot of my touring over the last 5 to 6 years is I've been very lucky to, you know, do Japan, and we did Moscow and all over Europe and a little bit of the States. So I needed a band that I could play local shows with, and had a lot of material that I wrote for the second Death Dealer album. And then the band Death Dealer got real busy. Like Ross the Boss started working with his band, which is amazing. And then Sean's working with Dennis Sherman. This sort of cuts back to mid last year. So I had all this material, and I went, you know what, I'm just going to form a band with my friends. And I'm very lucky to know world-class musicians here in Australia. And, you know, it features the bass player from Dungeon. So it's like, for Australians, it's kind of it's a cool thing, because it's two original members from Dungeon on stage together again, which, you know, that band was something really special here. And so it was a really super easy, organic thing, like pull your friends together who are professionals. Here's the material, and let's do it. And I guess Night Legion is, you know, probably a little more than Blasted to Static. Night Legion's definitely a touring band. We've just announced our first show, which is co-headlining a pretty big festival here in Australia. So that's nice for us, is to play, you know, a good bill. And the interest here is really cool. It's nice to kind of knock on the door of the local scene again, and people are interested. So for Australia, it's really cool. Musically, it's just real heads down power metal, as mentioned. And you know, it's got my Empire. There's some Empires of Eden stuff in there. I think we're doing Enter the Storm, which was an Empires of Eden track. And I worked with the singer Vo, who's tremendously talented. He's like a cross between like Halford meets, you know, the Toddler Torre kind of vocal, so he could kind of do anything. So that sort of came out, and we were excited about it, and we just went, you know what, let's do this thing. So that's where that's come from, and that'll be touring, and I'm already looking into some U.S. touring already now.
U.S. touring. Wow. Are you talking about doing some, booking some of your own shows, or jumping on another tour as support?
I think, to be fair, we'll probably come out and support. You know, I've talked to Ross about coming out and doing some Ross the Boss shows, and, you know, in Australia and Japan and Asia, you know, we're pretty well known from the Dungeon period and what our singer's been doing. But, you know, it's kind of a new thing, I guess, for the States and definitely for Europe. So we'll be happy to sort of come out and prove our mettle and, you know, bring our thing.
So have you ever considered, and maybe you have, I'm not sure, but what if one of your projects, like Night Legion, for example, takes off and becomes you know, bigger than, say, Death Dealer, but really big and takes up a lot of your time. Have you given a thought to maybe you're just not available for these other projects anymore and that you've got to focus on just one and that's it? Or do you think you can actually push yourself, no matter how popular one of your projects gets, that you can still do the other stuff?
Well, mate, I think it's a good problem to have. You know,
absolutely.
If and it's the same thing for Ross. You know, like, Ross the Boss is a legend. Like, I'm a huge Manowar fan, and I wish Ross all the best with it. You know, he's touring Europe at the moment to sell out venues. Sean Peck is playing with, you know, Dennis Sherman. They're playing the Bangerhead Festival, and they signed a new Metal Blade. And so it's actually this really cool collaboration between all of these different artists that we work with, where we're all really promoting each other and hoping that somebody can take off to a point where they're just that busy. But for me, look, it'd be a great problem to have. I guess for the last 10 years, I've been able to work with the different bands without very little crossover. And, you know, I hope you agree, if you hear stuff that I've done, it kind of, you know, it sounds like its own thing. You know, the Blasted album, Blasted the Static album, doesn't really sound like anything else I've done.
That was pretty clear within moments of me putting that on. I'm like, okay, this is not, you know, I knew going into it that I was not to expect anything like Death Dealer Part 2 or Empires or anything. I knew that. But yeah, it was definitely different. And while it didn't strike me, like, say, like the Death Dealer project did, it was nice. I like it when I hear artists that I listen to step outside and do something different in another project, as opposed to, like, say, you know, trying something completely different within the realm of what we know them for, but trying it differently. So it was easier for me to hear you a little bit differently with Blasted. And even with Jeff from Racer X, it's like, wow, you know, I wouldn't have expected to hear something like that from you guys. So it's actually kind of nice to hear. Mm. Yeah. And
kind of the beauty.
No, go ahead.
Well, that's kind of the beauty of the guys I'm working with. They're so talented that when you work with Jeff Martin, Jeff has a very strong vision. So the smart money is to go with that vision. You know, the Empires of Eden stuff, I don't know if a lot of people know, but all I did was write music for that thing. Like, that's actually why it was called Empires of Eden and not Stu Marshall. Like, it was a true collaboration. So every single time you hear a vocalist on those albums, and I released four albums under the Empires of Eden banner, they all wrote their own lyrics and melodies. And that creates a different feel and a different flavor that you know, if you're going to be imposing your will on people, then you're going to have the same flavor all the way through. And that's where, you know, I'm a team dude. I really just play guitar, mate. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a guitar player, and the best person to write the vocals is the singer, because they're telling the story. You know, there's no point in me coming in and telling someone what to do. So that's what I love about this whole process. And you know, certainly with Death Dealer, Sean's an incredible force. With Night Legion, Vo is also a very strong force and has his own few. So that's kind of why you get the different flavors in each of these different bands I'm in, because it's really not just about me. It's about working with these guys, and that's the truth.
Well, when you worked with Ronnie Monroe, did he just say, look, I need a guitar player to work with on this new record I'm doing, and I want you? I mean, how did that happen?
Well, the Ronnie thing was strange. It was like, I needed some vocals for Empires of Eden, and he needed an album done. And this was kind of in the early stages of me getting going, and I said to him, look, the deal was, you know, you sing five songs for me, and then I'll be your guy that can, like, write, mix, produce, master the entire album for you. So we had a pretty close collaboration musically, as far as me sending him a whole bunch of stuff, and then he would send the vocals back, and they were amazing. And but you know, that relationship kind of ended weird for me with Ronnie. It was like, once the album was done, that was the end of it. And you know, I got the tracks from him, and it was one of those things where you went, okay, dude, well, we move on, I guess. You know, I think I finally got a copy of the album last year, and if I sound pissed off about it, it's probably because I was. There was just a lot of time and effort put into that album, and it just sunk like a stone. Like, it's still a great album.
That's why I bring it up. You know, we've talked to Ronnie here at the station a couple times when he was in Metal Church, when he's doing his own solo thing. And this record, when the second record came out, I remember talking to one of my cohorts here at the station. I'm like, this record kicks ass. Full Circle, Just Breathe Me, just fantastic. And so because we liked it, I got to ask Stu about that one. How did that came to be? And, you know, why nothing else after that? I think you just addressed that. So, you know, on a somewhat related note, given that you're from Australia, if a high-profile gig came your way, are you the kind of guy that's willing to pick up and relocate to the U.S. or Europe if you got a big gig? I mean, would you do that?
Absolutely. You know, I think life's about just saying yes, man. That's why a lot of this stuff occurs. And sometimes it all depends. There's so many factors, bro. You know, like, it's very rare in this day and age that money's going to come along that's going to sustain a career. But yeah, I'm definitely available if the right option's there. But I'm also, you know, without sounding negative, bro, I'm just a realist.
You know, right, like, of course. No, of course, right, yeah.
But the answer's yes, you know. If it can sustain a lifestyle, absolutely.
Well, speaking of sustaining a lifestyle on a much, much, much smaller scale, you offer online guitar lessons. Is that for, I mean, do you do that for anyone from any level, any style, or what are the specifics on you offering online guitar lessons? Which I find kind of fascinating that there are plenty of musicians who do this, known and unknown, but it's just something about online. Do you feel something is lost in the translation there, or is it no different than being in the same room with somebody?
Mate, it's no different than being in the same room. The guys that I teach and the girls that I teach, you know, you have a Skype camera, and it's as though you're sitting across from people. You've got a slight lag. But look, the nuts and bolts of it is, you know, I'm teaching people that have never played before, all the way through to really, you know, advanced players that really just want to learn about live performance. There's so many aspects to playing. It's not just the notes you play. It's also, how do you prepare for a tour? You know, what sort of stuff can you encounter on stage? And after kind of 20 years of playing live and, you know, making a lot of mistakes, there's a lot of information there, I guess, that people can take from. But I love it, mate. I really enjoy teaching. And that's the beauty of technology. I can hook up with someone in Belgium and teach them as though they were sitting in my lounge room. So, yeah.
So if somebody pulled the Steve Vai to Joe Satriani thing where you walk up with a guitar and a pack of strings and, like, what do I do next, that you're saying you can help them?
Of course. Yeah, mate. I remember being a beginner. My very first guitar teacher was a guy called Di Pritchard, and that guy is the guitarist now for Rose Tattoo. So, you know,
it's not bad.
While the name may not resonate through you know, American listeners.
Oh, Rose Tattoo. Yeah, Rose Tattoo does resonate, absolutely.
And Di was one of the most patient people I ever met. Great teacher, and he's now, you know, playing in front of 50,000 people when they just supported Guns N' Roses through Australia. So you got to remember what it's like to be a learner and a beginner. And playing guitar, I'll just say this quickly, playing guitar is not a normal human function. So when people learn to play, it can be very discouraging. And it's really important that people, when they learn to play, find the right teacher that can be patient with them enough to actually get them through kind of stage one.
So you can guide them all the way through. And you're saying you help people with the live element to their playing?
Well, yeah. You find a lot of guys that they've been playing in their bedroom for 10 years. They're great players, but as soon as they go live, you know, it can all turn south. The live craft, the ability to play live in front of, you know, well, I was lucky with Death Dealer. We played to over 60,000 people in Europe. Like, we did 12,000 a night on the Metal All-Stars Tour. And when you walk out in front of an arena, it is a very different flavor to play in your local bar and your local pub. And there's some things you need to prepare for. And it's, until you've actually seen it with your own eyes and smelt it and felt the pressure, it's very difficult to kind of know what to expect. So You know, there's a couple of guys that I'm I guess teaching but mentoring, and I just talk to them. And they're only maybe they're only one or two lessons. Like, I'm not saying that I take money from these guys every week, but it's really just about imparting some of that knowledge of what I've seen and, you know, mistakes that have been made, and try, hopefully they don't make the same mistakes.
Oh, when you say don't make the same mistakes, are there any mistakes you want to share that you made and you train, you want to teach people not to make these kind of mistakes? Like, what kind of mistakes are you referring to?
I'm sorry, mate, you're going to have to pay me for that.
In other words, I'm going to ask for the cheap version of that answer, you know, the free one.
It's really super simple stuff, mate. It's just about, you know, when you're doing big shows, you've got to be very careful of relying on the back line provided by the promoter. You know, you can put everything in writing, but I've just seen it more than once. So I now pack a rig that I can put in my backpack, that I can play in front of 10,000, that I can play in front of one or two people. So it's simple stuff like that, but then also talking through the gear. So what is the kind of gear? Where do you find it? What do you use as a backup? Why do you need a backup? Looking at the guitar that you're taking on the road, you know, is it a Floyd Rose-equipped guitar? How old are the components of the Floyd? Do you have spare parts? You know, little stupid stuff like that that you take for granted when you're at home. And believe me, man, it just breaks down on the road. And you'll be in Bulgaria and you'll be, you know, one of your Floyd posts will snap. I've seen it, you know. And a good buddy of mine is a guy called Willie G. A lot of people know Willie. He was a guitar player, or guitar tech, excuse me, for Dave Mustaine for many years, and worked with King Diamond. And we kind of talk a lot about this stuff, you know, just privately about just simple stuff people forget when they hit the road. Just taking a spare cable, a guitar tuner, a spare battery, like little stupid stuff like that, that's common sense, that, you know, you sort of nuddle that out. But I was lucky enough to guitar tech for Zach Wild as well. I was Zach's sort of guy for 2 weeks. So, I got a bunch of stories about that and just preparing his gear, and I had to make sure his rig was working every night. So, yeah, you know, there's just lots of mistakes, I guess, along the way, and a lot of learnings along the way that you can impart to people that hopefully, you know, they don't have to learn the hard way, is the story.
Well, I'd rather listen to you than Zach Wild. I want to put that out there. I a little bit of a preference there for sure. Just a few minutes after midnight, you're listening to Black Knight Meditations here on WSCA Portsmouth 106.1 FM. I am talking with Stu Marshall, guitar player for Night Legion and Death Dealer, Blasted the Static. And since you're an Australian guy, you live there, you're there now. Let's talk about the Australian music scene overall, because I have been a fan of Australian music since the early 80s. And, you know, it started when I first heard Men at Work, and then I discovered more lesser-known bands at the time, like Midnight Oil and Ice House. And, of course, the metal bands. I think the metal scene in Australia is one of, as far as the metal that's produced out of your country, is right up there with Germany and the United States. I love the Australian metal scene, but I even love the Australian pop rock scene too. You know, Empire of the Sun is my favorite band. Goldfields released one of my absolute all-time favorite albums. It's called Black Sun, just a few years ago. How do you overall regard Australian music?
Well, mate, I think in the 80s we had an amazing live scene. So we had a scene where any night of the week you could go out in Sydney and see Midnight Oil, Cold Chisel, Angels, AC/DC, or maybe not AC/DC in the 80s, but certainly in the 70s, Rose Tattoo. So we used to have a really strong, fertile live scene. That's kind of gone. But I think the bands are still there. You know, like you were talking about the Australian metal scene. Well, you've got one of the strongest scenes at the moment with bands. You've got Vanishing Point, Lord, Darker Half, Black Majesty, like the list is enormous. I can't even scratch the surface. And so, you know, with Night Legion, we're kind of breaking back into that that family of people that we know. But from a pop and rock scene, you've got a pretty fertile scene as well. But I think people just have to go overseas to make it now. You know, Airborne's a great example. One of my favourite bands. But, you know, their success is overseas, you know, and they keep coming back. So I think one of the cool things about living in Australia is we're kind of a healthy hybrid of the US and the UK. So we've got this big UK background. You know, a lot of us were born in Europe and we come over here, much like immigrants to the States early on. So, but we've still got this really strong US metal culture here as well. So you'll find that, I remember many, many years ago, I've got a good story for you. I was in Dungeon. We went to Europe. And, you know, I got to meet a few of my idols at a few of the bigger gigs. You know, we played Bang Your Head with Dio and Twisted Sister. And, you know, one of the bands that will remain nameless came back up to us backstage, you know, and we were hanging out, just freaking out. We were just kids. And, you know, I think it was Dora Pesh, who was also a good friend of ours. And, you know, there's Udo, there's all these superstars. And, you know, one dude came up to us and he said, you know, all I know Australia for is Kylie Minogue and Kangaroos. You know, and I'm like, well, you know, stick around, man. Hopefully you'll have your mind changed, you know, when you see the band. And I think at the end of the day, Australians have this real healthy humour. You know, we don't take ourselves too seriously. We love a drink. And we love Americans. You know, every time I've been to the States, man, it's my second home. But I think as far as a scene goes, we've got really strong bands at the moment. It kind of dipped a little bit in the early 2000s, but, mate, right now we've got bands that could compete with anybody. And they do sound a little different to European and US bands. We've got a little bit of a hybrid of the both. And I think that's what separates some Aussie metal, is that it's just a different flavour. It's no better, no worse, but it's just something different. And I think that's what we bring, and that's what I've experienced over the years.
And when it, like I mentioned, some of the pop rock bands, I mean, Empire of the Sun, it's my favorite. I mean, I don't even know how big they are in Australia, but they've made some headway here over the years. And, you know, Goldfields didn't really do anything, hardly anything over here. They did some touring, and that Black Sun album, one of my absolute favorite albums ever. And you mentioned Kylie Minogue. I love Kylie Minogue. I've been a huge fan. I love her music. But the metal scene, I mean, bands that don't even exist anymore to bands that still, bands like Bestial Warlust and Alchemist and Long Voyage Back and Destroyer 666 is great. Alchemist, they were great. You mentioned Black Majesty, so many more. And you mentioned you trying to get back in, getting Night Legion into the scene. What about you personally? I mean, how, this is going to tie into what I was going to talk to you about next is, when it comes to Stu, the guitar player, how involved in the metal scene are you? I mean, do you just stick to your own thing, or are you a part of the metal scene there?
Well, mate, to be honest, I was in when I was in Dungeon. You know, Dungeon was one of the bigger bands in Australia. You know, we used to pull 500-600 people, which for Australia was pretty good. And at the time, we were the kind of go-to band for promoters that wanted to bring out, you know, we played with Halloween and Nightwish, and we did the Megadeth tour, and then we got invited to go to Europe with Dave and stuff. So there was a bit of a profile, I guess, from there that's carried through. And then I was lucky enough, obviously, to work with the guys in Death Dealer. I formed that band with Sean. So that band being so popular in Europe and the States kind of resonated here in Australia as well. So, you know, the Australian metal scene, while I wasn't directly involved with it here, was well aware of the work I was doing over there. So I've kind of still stayed connected to the scene here through the overseas stuff that I've done. But having said that, mate, look, you've still got to go back and prove yourself here. Our first show coming up is at a pretty big festival in Sydney. We're co-headlining it for our debut, which is really, really exciting for us. But we've got a lot to prove, and we don't rest on what we did yesterday. So, you know, a lot of my work's been overseas, mate. Like, I've played Japan and most of Europe and the States, three times in the last 5 years. So, I will say honestly, I've been a little disconnected from the scene, but kind of everybody that I knew before still knows me now, and we've all always stayed friends and brothers. So it's just great to be able to actually play on Australian soil again for me, and I'm really very very proud of it, to be able to have this band and how this band sounds. I'm very proud of it as well. So. No, mate, it's good. I've been a little disconnected, to be honest, but it's great to sort of have that love when we announced the band and we're coming back. And the promoter straight away said, "Mate, you're going to cut a headline." And we're playing with some very respectable bands, so it's a really good lineup. So that's kind of the story there. But no, it's great to be back.
Well, speaking of Night Legion, you've got the song Night Legion that you've put out there that people have heard. I've got the cut Into the Storm that I'm going to be playing in just a few minutes after we're done talking. What can people expect for hearing more music from Night Legion?
Mate, right at the second, we're talking to labels. All the majors in Europe have the album, and I'd love to give you more. But right now we're in that phase of... You know, labels are very protective about the material, and so we've got to be careful about, putting more stuff out. But I've basically just said to the labels, look, you've got till the 30th of March, forgive me. And if they can't come to a decision by then we're just going to self-release through the Death Dealer label that we released our debut on and get the album out. Really powerful, really, really heavy, and really aggressive power metal, you know, but still melodic, and I hope you agree. You know, it's got the flavor that's not just rehashed stuff that was done yesterday. We're just trying to collectively bring our power together and create something fresh for people to hear. Who hasn't been influenced by Priest, you know, who hasn't been influenced by Maiden. So,
exactly.
You look at those legends and those gods and then sort of look at your own inner voice and see what comes with that as well and blend that together, and that's what we've done with Night Legion.
So I'd like to ask many of the artists that I speak with to get more information about them personally away from metal. So tell us about the Stewmeister. You know, what kind of guy are you? Put the guitar down. You know, just you. How do you otherwise spend your days? You know, nothing related to music. Who is Stu? What do you do? What kind of guy are you like?
I mean, I'm pretty easygoing. The thing is living in Sydney, it's pretty chill, you know. So I love my sports, you know. I love combat sports and UFC and stuff like that. Well, I used to love the UFC before they turned into this bastardized conglomerate. But, yeah, I love my sports, mate, and a few drinks and barbecues with friends, and love traveling. You know, me and the wife just went to Bali for a week. And so, you know, outside of music, it's really, really non-music. You know what I mean? Like, there's a time, you know, I was talking to George Lynch many years ago, interviewed him, and I asked him kind of what was the best advice he could give to young players. I was working for Guitarist Magazine. And he said, man, put the guitar down for 12 months. Go and live your life and then start writing about it. And it was good advice because, you know, you can get a little studio blind. So, you know, man, I love animals, love my dog, love my cat, love my wife. And, you know, I'm a patriot, man. I love Australia and I love America. And, you know, I'm pretty, pretty fair, simple bloke. You know, as long as there's a cold beer in the fridge and a meal on the table, I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, sounds like the life. I'm curious, overall, maybe you can speak to this, maybe you can't, but what is your sense of how overall, just generally speaking, how Australia regards America? Not you personally, but just how your country regards our country.
Mate, the people that I know love America. That's all there is to it. You know, and I'm one of these guys that keep having to remind people about World War II. You know, I know this is sort of your grandfather's conversation, but, you know, it's really important that we understand who our allies are from a political sense. And, you know, every time I come to the States, I'm embraced warmly. So I think, the political climate, there's not enough time to cover that one. And I actually, I'm a bit ambivalent to it, to be honest. I think at the end of the day, Australia's Australia, America's America, and you know, hopefully we can work together and we'll have Americans like Australia, or have Australians like America when they go over, and that's pretty fair, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to sugarcoat any opinion. It's at the end of the day, just you know, smile and enjoy each other's company, and you know, if you want to beat each other about politically, well, that's other people's position there, but yeah, that's not mine.
I think the feeling is mutual, and I wasn't even going to go there politically. It's just another kind of discussion entirely. But I've been enamored of your country since I was a little kid, and so I love the music there. I love the culture. I like your attitude. And hey, like I said, I prefer you over Zach Wilde, so there you go. So, Stu, give us your website, your contact info. How can people find out more about Night Legion, your different bands that you either have been in or inactive or active with, and how to get in touch with you personally?
Yeah, mate, super easy. Guys, please check out Night Legion Metal on Facebook. That's the URL. Look up Night Legion Band. You'll find us. We're there. Drop a like. We're always there talking. So if you want to post something, say hey, you'll get a hey back directly from me or one of the boys. So definitely, we got nightlegion.net is our website if you want to find stuff out. We've got some really cool special merch packs. This is the first time I'm announcing this. We decided, because it was cool that we announced the band, that we're actually releasing a special T-shirt and pack with like pics and signed poster and stuff. So there's only 100 worldwide. They're going to go live pretty soon.
Yeah, that T-shirt design is awesome.
Sorry, brother.
No, the T-shirt design for Night Legion, that is awesome. That's a killer shirt. I love that T-shirt.
Yeah, man, we just threw it up and hope that people like it. So there's only a short amount of those, and it was just kind of as a thank you to everybody that's been supporting the launch. So the only way you're going to find out about it is you know, being a part of the Facebook page, which is what everyone's using at the moment. So you drop by there, and stumarshall.com. It's stumarshall.com. That's my page. That's pretty much the Empires of Eden information. And, if anyone's got a question or whatever, just drop a question up at the Night Legion page. I'll hit you back. No problem.
Or how do I play guitar? Help me. You can certainly do that, too.
I can do that, too. Yeah. You know, the lessons are – I'm still teaching. So if you want lessons, or if you have any – you know, if you only want one lesson, that's cool. Hit me up, and I'll help you out.
All right, we're going to go into Night Legion's Into the Storm. Stu, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. I've been wanting to speak to you for years. I'm glad we're finally able to make this happen. And thanks for calling in, and best wishes on Night Legion. Take care.
Mate, thank you for your time. You're very generous with your time, and I look forward to talking to you again.
All right, I will have you on the WSEA airwaves again. All right, take care, brother.
Goodbye.